We're looking at Romans chapter 8. I've been wrestling in my mind and heart as to what to preach today. It's always a challenge to find the right word, a word in season. And I trust the Lord will bless us as we look to His word today. Before we read the chapter, Romans chapter 8, this is an important chapter with regard to the person and work of God the Holy Spirit. We think of our salvation and we think of what Christ has accomplished for us, God sending His only Son, the begotten Son, into the world to redeem us, the Father determining even before the foundation of the world to choose out a people from the mass of humanity to be His own, Christ coming to die on our behalf and giving Himself as a ransom for our sins. But often we overlook the work of God the Holy Spirit. And it's to our detriment. And we come today to consider the work and the witness of God the Holy Spirit. In this chapter, you have mentioned here a number of things about the Spirit's work. It talks about the indwelling of the Spirit in verse 9, the quickening of the Spirit in verse 11, how we are made alive by the Spirit of God, we are led by the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit in verse 14, the witness of God the Holy Spirit in verse 16, the help and the intercession of God the Holy Spirit in verse 26. And much is said here about the Holy Spirit. And it assures our hearts. There's wonderful encouragement for us as the people of God. Our hearts are assured by the evidence God has given here with regard to the operation, the work of the Holy Spirit in God's people, in our hearts. And these reasons of proof are given. Proof that we are the children of God. If you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ today, you profess faith in Christ. He is your Savior. You're cleansed from your sin. You are a child of God. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that's what we want to consider today. But as we think about the work of the Holy Spirit, keep in mind, always keep in mind, that the Spirit's witness and the leading of the Spirit is in harmony with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never lead you in a way that is contrary to the Scriptures of truth. People say, I feel the Lord is leading me to do this or to do that, and yet the thing that they're going to set their hand to do is in direct defiance and disobedience to a command of God. That is not the leading of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, will never lead you to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. And the work of the Spirit in you, the fruit that He produces in you, will correspond to the Word of God. There will be certain marks, there will be evidence, there will be fruit in your life that corresponds with the Word of God and points to the fact that God, by His Spirit, dwells in you. So let's look here at Romans chapter 8. We'll begin to read at the verse 1, reading down to verse 18. If ever you need encouragement, here's a verse for your encouragement today, believer. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God,
For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, or himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse 18. And let's just take a moment to pray and ask God's help as we come to the ministry of his word. Our Father and our God in heaven, we still ourselves now before thee. And we pray, Lord, for your leading. We pray that we would be taught of the Spirit of God, even as Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that the eyes of their understanding would be opened, that they would have that spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for such enlightenment. Open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law. Show us the Savior today. Show us afresh our need of Christ. Show us the work of God in us. Lord, we pray that you would continue to persevere with us. We're thankful for persevering grace, the grace that God gives to keep on going, the work of God in us. He has not left us to our own limitations, our own weakness, but comes alongside to help us, to support us, to comfort us, to strengthen us. All today, Lord, we pray that we would know the dynamic power of God, the Holy Spirit, working in our hearts, working in our midst, that we would be strengthened with all might by his Spirit in the inner man, that we would know the love of Christ, the magnitude of that love, that we would see Jesus high and lifted up, that we would leave this place rejoicing in our Savior, focused on him, having that eternal perspective. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins, for getting our eyes of thee and on the things of this world, for being distracted and consumed by the things of the flesh. We ask, Lord, that you would lead us now into thy truth. Lord, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead us today, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Verse 14 to 16, we have here something of the work and witness of God, the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ lovingly acknowledge God to be their Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Assurance of God's love is something very essential to the Christian life. something very necessary for us to persevere if we're going to go on, if we're going to persevere in grace, if we are going to walk with God, the Lord must come and assure our hearts of His love at times. Assurance of God's love is something that the Spirit of God makes known to our hearts. We were reading in Romans chapter 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. There are times we are assured of God's love, but there are other times when we lose the sense of it. We lose sight of the Savior. There are times we may be accepted with God, and every child who is justified, every saint who is justified, is accepted with God in a state of grace, but we may be accepted and yet not possess a true assurance of that acceptance. Many people struggle with the issue of assurance, the assurance of their salvation. Though they are justified, though they're accepted in the beloved Son, they don't possess within them that true assurance of that acceptance. And there are times we lack that sense of the Lord's presence. We lack perhaps the assurance of salvation. We don't feel secure in our relationship. And these are the times it's very essential, it's very necessary for the Spirit of God to come alongside and comfort our fainting hearts, for Him to come alongside and reassure us of our relationship to God, of our standing in Christ. We stand in grace, we are justified by faith, and we have peace with God. The Lord, by His Spirit, must come and demonstrate to us again His faithfulness. Show Himself strong on behalf of His people, demonstrating that God is faithful, who has called us into the fellowship of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are times we need the Spirit of God to bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit, it really impresses upon our heart the reality of our relationship to God. He impresses upon our heart that security of our relationship. We're reminded again of how secure we are in Christ. Our salvation is forever settled. Our security in Christ is forever settled. That relationship as an adopted child of God cannot be broken. Once a son, always a son. Now, there are times we may do those things that displease our Heavenly Father. We may grieve Him. We may disappoint Him. And the Lord may have to come and chasten us, correct us, instruct us. But He does so in love. Whom the Father loves, He chastens. He does so because we are His children. He will not let us go. He will not give us up. He will not leave us to our own devices. He will not leave us to our own infirmities or our own limitations. God comes to minister to our hearts, and that relationship and the security of our relationship to God is sure. The relationship is sealed by the blood of Christ. It is secure in Christ. And though we question God's love at times, though we doubt His love, though we do not sense His presence with us, though we do those things that maybe displease Him and disappoint Him, though we change, the wonderful truth is God does not change. The love of God is unwavering, unchanging. It's infinite love. It's forever the same. And that truth, the Spirit of God impresses upon our heart. The truth that God's love is unwavering and unchanging, the reality of our relationship to God through Christ, the security of that relationship, that is all part and parcel of the Holy Spirit's work in us. One of the things the Holy Spirit does, He comes to convince us of God's unchanging love. And that's what Paul is doing here in Romans chapter 8, especially near the end of the chapter. That's his whole focus, the love of Christ, the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You look at verse 37, it says, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature." It doesn't matter who it is, what it is, angel, devil, man. It doesn't matter. Nothing, no one can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. The unchanging, unwavering love of Christ. Verse 32 tells us of the one who spared not His own Son. So great is that love. He delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And He's speaking to us again and again of the grace and the love and the mercy of God for sinners who are unworthy, undeserving, who deserve condemnation. And yet the Spirit of God comes to show us our sin, show us the Savior, show us His love, show us that when we are in Christ, we are secure. And so Paul here calls us to consider afresh the love of Christ, that love which has conquered our heart, that love from which nothing can separate us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that's what the Spirit does. He confirms the love of Christ to our soul. But there's something else He does. The Spirit of God also helps us understand the gospel of grace. Jesus said when He would depart that He would send another comforter, one just like Himself, who would continue His work, who would take up where He left off. The Spirit of God will show you the things of Christ, and He will confirm them to your soul. He shows me the things of Christ and brings the Christian to the realization that God is at peace with me. I am accepted in the beloved Son. I am accepted by faith in the sacrifice of Christ for my sin. That's where my acceptance lies. Not in what I do, not in what I have done, but in what Christ has done. And it's the Spirit of God. He is the one who helps me understand the price of my pardon has been paid. God reckons it to be so. God now sees me in Christ. I'm accepted in the Beloved. And the Spirit of God helps me understand the gospel of grace. That I'm not under sin's condemnation anymore. I've been delivered from the guilt and the power, the condemnation of sin. Christ is my Savior. Being justified, I have a standing before God. Being justified means that we are legally declared righteous. Being justified means that we are judicially free. We will never have to pay the penalty for our sin. Christ has paid that penalty for us. Christ suffered and died for all my sin. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, bringing me to that place where I see that truth, where I accept that truth, where I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing myself, knowing my sin, being convicted of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. I turn from my sin. I receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not my work. That is God's work in me, leading me, bringing me to that place where I understand the gospel of free grace and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. That Christ suffered and died for all my sin. He took my place. He paid my penalty. He died for me. And it's that thought, that gives peace to the heart of the believer. That pacifies the guilty conscience. Just to think, the blood of Jesus Christ covers and cleanses all my sin. And I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God helps me understand the gospel of grace. And I am secure in my relationship. I am secure in Christ. And so as further evidence of the Father's unchanging love and evidence of our acceptance in Christ, God has given to us His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. He inhabits us. He dwells in this house. And that's a mystery to me. But that's what the Word of God reveals. That's the truth that God has revealed in His Word. As evidence of the Father's unchanging love, as evidence of our acceptance in Christ, God has given His Spirit, and the Spirit of God comes to live, to dwell in me. Great is the mystery of godliness. And this house is secure. In your home, you may have an alarm system. Many people install an alarm system. They install smoke detectors. They do so for insurance purposes, perhaps. Your home may be secure. It has locks. It has bolts. It is fitted with proper locks. It is locked. It is sealed. It is secure. But as added protection and security, you may install a security alarm, security system. God, for our security, for our comfort, for our assurance, has given us the Holy Spirit, and He dwells in us. If it weren't enough, if you didn't accept the Father's unchanging love and Christ's mercy and grace to you, the acceptance that you have in the Beloved, here's a further confirmation. Here's more comfort and assurance for you. God's Spirit dwells in you. He inhabits the house. And we, as believers, are securely sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Look over quickly at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 13. Of course, in Ephesians chapter 1, he's talking about this acceptance in the Beloved. He's talking about being redeemed through the blood, the riches of God's grace. The fact that God has chosen us in Christ from before the foundation of the world. He leads us to faith and repentance. And in verse 13 it says, "In whom ye also trusted." You trusted in Christ. "After that ye heard the word of truth," the gospel of our salvation, "in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, or the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You are chosen, you are accepted, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God comes to dwell in you. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit which was promised. And what does that sealing imply? What does it point to? Well, when you think about a seal, there are a number of ways you can think about that. You think about a company putting their seal upon their product. There is that stamp or seal upon the product that they have manufactured and produced. This is the genuine article. This is Kellogg's, or this is Heinz ketchup, or this is Coca-Cola. As distinct from other colas or other ketchups, it's their company seal is upon it. And when God puts His seal upon us, there is that stamp that what we have is genuine. It is authentic. It is the real thing. What we have in Christ is full and free salvation. It's real. It's true. It's reality. It's authentic. That could be one way of looking at it. But another way of looking at it, you think of a seal, it signifies possession. In days gone by, the king would dip his ring in the wax and he would seal the letter. The mark of the king was upon that letter. This was truly a letter from the king. God puts his mark upon us. His Spirit dwells in us, signifying that we belong to him, that he owns us. We are his children, and the marks of grace are evident in our life. We belong to him. What we have is real. But again, there's that idea of security here, the seal. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The idea is that of security. When something is of great value to you, you treasure it, you look after it, you put it in a safe place, you lock it up and you seal it. You maybe put it in a safety deposit box, your precious jewels, your riches, those things that are dear and near to you, things of value, you lock them up, you seal them away. And that's the idea here. We are secure. We are safe in Christ. God has given us His Holy Spirit as a pledge of our eternal inheritance. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What we have is real salvation, authentic salvation. It's a lasting work of grace. It cannot be taken away. You are safe and you are secure in Christ. And the evidence of that is the abiding presence of God's Spirit in you. The work and the witness of the Holy Spirit is so necessary to our security, to our growth in grace. So when we think about the work of the Holy Spirit, He dwells in me. He convinces me of God's love. He helps me understand the gospel of free and saving grace. He helps me to discern whether or not I have the marks of sonship or the marks of sonship evident in my life. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Leading, teaching, guiding, showing us the things of Christ. Opening the eyes of our understanding. Open our hearts to the truth. But there's something else here in Romans chapter 8 with regard to the work and witness of the Spirit. The Spirit of God helps us in our weakness, in our infirmities. He helps us to make sense of the issues of life, things that confront us day by day. The tragic news, the news of sickness, the news of loved ones passing away, the sorrows that flood in, the things that come upon us suddenly, quickly, disturb our peace, rob us of joy, that overwhelm us and we don't know what to do. Well, the Spirit of God comes alongside and He helps us in our weakness, in our infirmities. He helps us to make sense of all these things. Look at verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. It says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Paul is doing some calculating here. That word reckon is an accounting term meaning to count or to calculate or to compute. And there are some things we find very difficult to understand, very difficult to accept, very difficult to figure out. We live in a world that is racked with sorrow, and suffering, pain, grief, tears, confusion, despair, frustration. These things often come upon us. They mark our path. The trials of everyday life. What are we to do? When things just don't add up and we can't figure them out on our own. We try, but we don't have any answers. And when Paul is saying here, we need to get some things straight. We need to figure these things out before they swallow us up and overwhelm us. Painful and troubling circumstances that disturb our peace. Well, the Spirit of God comes alongside as the comforter to help us deal with the confusion, deal with the frustration, deal with the things that trouble us. They don't seem as nothing to us. Paul says, I reckon that the things, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. They're nothing. Things of this present world and the sufferings of this present world are nothing compared to the glory that God has prepared for His people. But so often those things that trouble us, they overwhelm us. They're not little things. They're difficult things. They're painful things. But Paul says here, God by His Spirit reveals this truth that even the sufferings of this present time, whether we understand it or not, even the sufferings of this present time, God is using them in His mysterious counsel and purpose and plan. God is using them for the Christian's good. And sometimes we rattle off Romans 8:28 all too quickly. And we have to keep in mind, even though we don't understand the ways of God and the purposes of God, as for God, His ways are perfect. And I have to submit to that, even though I don't understand it. All things work together for good to them that love God. To those who love God, there is that assurance of love. God's love for us, our love in response to Him. Even the sufferings of this present time are working for the Christian's good. And God, the Holy Spirit, comes alongside and helps us in our hour of need, confirms the truth to our souls, even when everything around, as the hymn writer says, when all around my soul gives way, when everything is falling apart, when there's nothing but bad news, nothing but sorrow and brokenness and frustration and confusion, that's the time God comes to confirm His Word, to give strength, to write that Word upon our hearts. That's the Spirit of God impressing the truth upon our hearts, giving us courage and strength and power just to go on and to persevere. When we feel like giving up, when we have no strength to go on, God infuses us with strength. The dynamic power of God's Spirit working in us. That was Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. That they would be strengthened with all might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's what I need. That's what we all need today. To be strengthened with might in the inner man. So that as the Spirit of God works in me, shows me my relationship to the Father, shows me my acceptance in the Son, shows me the fact that I am indwelt by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God helps me in my weakness and my infirmity. He helps me to discern those spiritual graces in our life, which are the effect of saving grace, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, and so on. Against such there is no law. The fruit that the Spirit of God produces in us. You see, God knows our hearts. The Lord God knows our hearts. That's why He gave us His Spirit. Our hearts are so prone to wander. We're so full of unbelief at times. We tend to doubt our sonship. We lack assurance. We question God's love. Our hearts condemn us. Our hearts accuse us. Our hearts deceive us. But God is greater than our hearts. And that's why God gave us His Spirit. He saw fit to grant us His Holy Spirit. Spirit. So the need of the Holy Spirit to bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Because our hearts so often mislead us, condemn us, accuse us, and deceive us. That's why God gave the Holy Spirit to come dwell in us. And as A.W. Pink said, the clear implication of these words in Romans 8:16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The clear implication of these words is that the actual existence of the saints' sonship is sometimes a matter of painful uncertainty. So much so that the supernatural agency of the Holy Spirit is required to authenticate the fact and to allay our fears. The Holy Spirit comes alongside to confirm the truth to our hearts, to show us what we have is real, to show us our acceptance, to show us the unwavering love of God, to allay our fears. And to be fully assured of the amazing fact that God is my Father. God is my spiritual Father. That demands something more than the testimony of my own feelings or the opinions of men. That is the revelation of God to our hearts. The Spirit of God making these things known and showing us the effect of saving grace, producing fruit in us to the glory and honor of God. And the fruit He produces because of His regenerating grace is holy fruit. Whereas now there is that love for Jesus Christ. There is that delight in the law of God, where before we walked according to the course of this world, according to the lusts of the flesh. We're children of wrath and disobedience, even as others. But now, the Spirit of God, having worked in us, gives us love for Christ, a desire for truth, a delight in the law of God, so that we walk according to truth. And there is that pure affection. There's now that spirit of prayer and supplication. There's that willingness to do what God wants me to do. A surrender to His will, to His way. There's that intimacy, that fellowship, that communion, whereas before there was enmity. That's the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in us. The Spirit conducts us then to the sure conclusion that we are the children of God. And if children, then joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, we may be also glorified with Him. There's evidence of a work of grace in your heart. You're adopted. The things that were not there before, were absent before, were wanting before, are now evident and real and true. And in Christ, the Spirit of God shows us that there is a real correspondence between our experience and revealed truth. We now acknowledge God as our Father, Christ as our Savior. And as we read in 1 John 4, hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. That essential work and witness of the Holy Spirit, assuring our hearts that we are the sons of God. What a wonderful truth. What does He do? He confirms the unwavering, unchanging love of God. He helps us understand gospel grace. He leads us in truth. He helps us in our weakness, and He produces godly fruit in our life to the honor of God. That's the work and witness of the Holy Spirit. And may we day by day sense our need of the Holy Spirit. If we lack these things, if we long for more of these things in our life, then all we have to do is come to God humbly and honestly and say, give me of Thy Holy Spirit. Fill me with Your Spirit day by day. If ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? It's what we need. It's what I need. May the Lord grant that prayer in days to come. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father and our God in heaven, we bow humbly before Thee, thankful for Your grace, justifying grace, saving grace, grace to persevere. Lord, to be in Your hand is a great blessing, to have a standing before God in Christ Jesus, to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, guaranteed a home in heaven. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are seated with Him even now in heavenly places. Oh, what a standing is ours, and we're thankful for the witness of the Holy Spirit to the reality of these things in our own experience. Lord, if there be those here today who have not the Spirit of Christ, they're without God, they're without hope in this world, they are none of Yours. And we pray, Lord, that You would work in their hearts, lead them to Yourself, lead them into the truth. Even now, may they see their deficiency, may they see their sin, and may they call upon the Lord for salvation. So breathe on us, Lord. Continue to help us this day. Lead us in truth, that we would worship Thee in spirit and in truth, that we would do all to the praise of His glorious grace, realizing we're accepted in the beloved Son this day. Hear our prayer, receive our thanks. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.